Today in the Neighborhood, another great episode. I'm already predicting it right out the box. Great episode of Just Want to Talk. I want to welcome in good friend, not necessarily of the podcast yet, but good friend of mine from college. He is Seth Hagen. Seth, welcome into the program, man.
Appreciate it, Arky. Yeah, man, a little pressure off top from the... This is going to be a great show, though, everybody. Man, it's good to be up here, man. I remember last time I was in the studio with you, maybe a couple of years ago, you know, when you were still in Huntsville. And man, it feels like it's been a long time, but not really so much.
Yeah,
and even to Montevallo, I mean, that's crazy, man. Like
my last
like Falcon Fever
time spent on campus, I think, was probably around fall 2011.
Or yeah,
spring 2011. I think why I remember it most is because I think it was the spring that Auburn won the national championship.
Mm, yeah.
So I remember getting into sports radio, and I looked over at one of the guys who hosted the morning show, and I said, you know what's great? Is that my favorite team won the national championship before I got into sports radio, so I don't have to have this bitterness inside that they're never going to win something because the opposing team wins all the games all the time.
Yeah, that is something, because you're talking about, like, what, 50 years of pent-up anger and aggression, and then, like, all the teams that went undefeated and never being recognized. And
had that ruining the program. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oh, poor guy. Poor old guy.
You know, this show's not supposed to be technically sports, but we're going to make it whatever we want.
Hey.
How do you get on a documentary program that is seen by thousands, dare I say millions of people, and when they're asking about whether or not Auburn did something underhanded, your response is, not ever programmed Lily White. How in the world that people don't get the message that you cheated while you were coaching Auburn? Probably no, because I don't understand how that guy is also still a special advisor
right
to the university.
Oh yeah, very visible within the program. I mean, it's insane, because he is like the face of that program during the 80s, and then to come out with a southerly Gentile way of, well, I guess say boy, nobody's perfect. Like, come on now, man. Like, at least give him something a little cleaner. Give him a Gene Chizik answer. Say like four words. Come on, anything.
Just like, what do you think, Auburn? Do you think wrong? Like, God is great. Thanks, Coach Chizik. That's all you need. That's all God. That's all Chizik did, was gave everything, all credit to God. First thing's like, congratulations, just won a national championship. First of all,
right,
give credit to God. Great, thank you. Can we move forward?
Let me tell you about my book, All In.
Give God credit all day long, every day. Just, you don't have to make it the first thing. Because for me, and again, it's not necessarily that I hate religion. It's that you don't have to make it the first thing you say, because it does feel like you're protesting too much. Like you're too
yes
much out there. Like, hey, I'm not gay. Like, no one asked you if you were gay. Hey, I like God. No one said you didn't like God. I just want to say I like God.
And especially at the end of like all these award shows, it's like it feels forced. At a certain point, you're just like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm glad that it's important to everybody, but you know, if you're saying it over and over and over again, then it becomes media fodder. It becomes something for somebody to point and laugh at, other than you know, something that's really maybe important to you.
Yeah,
so,
like thanking your agents. That should be the one I want to hear about.
Absolutely. I'd like to thank the guy who landed me the gig.
I have this fantasy that in an award show, I will watch every person get an award and, like, make a profound speech. And so every speech
right
is like a one-upsmanship, like, first of all, Darfur, it's a terrible thing what's happening. But let me tell you how that relates to the space of life. You know, we're all people, right? Like, that's what I want every speech
we are
to
the
be
world.
I don't want it to be like, first of all, thank Jesus. Then I like to thank 31 people who are on my management team. It's not what I want. Just like, I don't need the protesting too much. It's just, we get it. You know, you
right
love Jesus. That's fine. You can like Jesus all you want. Just, it shouldn't be the first thing out of your mouth. Mm. Then again, here's where they get you, which is, well, it should be the first thing out of your mouth. I'm like, no, because it immediately turns people off.
Yeah. Like, once again, it's like it becomes a joke. And you don't want something like that to be a joke.
Right.
So be be unique about it. You know,
that, or at least sneak it into the end. You're like, oh, and also I'd like to thank Jesus Christ. Like, hey, all right, the guy's a religious dude. He gives praise to his Savior.
You don't have to say last but not least, my Lord and Savior.
Hey, like... JC, what's up, man? You guys can check him out on Twitter. Twitter handle. I know there's an at God Twitter handle.
There's an at God, and he's very controversial.
Yeah,
he's a very controversial God. He's an all-loving God. He's basically like the happy, just all the time, like everybody. I love everybody. No judgment God.
If there were a God, I would like him to be like the at God on Twitter, because he's judgmental. He is judgmental.
A little bit, yeah.
A little.
Oh, yeah, when people like come out and like,
yeah,
absolutely.
Because you should be judgmental sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. People need to be called out every once in a while. Give them that reality check.
Seth is also the co-host of The Spread, which airs every Sunday on, I'm going to get this right, WKGA, right?
Boom.
97.5
yep.
in
right.
Alex City, Alabama.
Yep. Collage Country, 2 to 4 p.m. every Sunday. You can catch us. Me and Dan, we have guests on, former Auburn players, AL.com folks, of course, Arky Shea, and Cole Kublik here recently.
I was on your guys' program for, I'm not joking you, 41 minutes.
Yes.
Without a commercial break.
I kept
looking at my phone like, what time is it?
They're going to let these guys keep going? I mean, yeah. We do enjoy the freedom.
I didn't know
but
you guys had that kind of freedom with commercial breaks.
Well, just because it's on Sundays and everybody's kind of laid back. Like during the week, we gotta get paid. But
yeah, that's right. Gotta pay the bills. But on Sundays, it's like, dude, we just talk whatever we want, whenever we want.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had callers on for a half hour straight because they just wouldn't stop talking. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of crazy because you have guys like Terry from Talladega that calls into the Fine Bomb Show and, you know, up at Jocks. And, I mean, heck, for all I know, he could call up here. And, I mean,
we don't have a Terry from Talladega.
Okay, well, then that's good because he doesn't need to be too many places, poor guy. But
we don't want to oversaturate the market on Terry.
Yeah, but we give him a platform to really, like, talk because, I mean, there's not a whole lot of people in Alex City. It's unfortunately become smaller and smaller ever since Auburn stopped wearing Russell brand clothing for their athletics.
True.
And
switched to Under Armour a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And since then, it's kind of just shrunk.
Yeah, Russell's right in Alex City.
So yeah. Russellville, yeah.
Russellville. Right. Mm-hmm. I guess Russell, that's where it comes from.
I don't know for sure.
I just threw the connection in there. That's got to be true. There's no way you'd
right?
make that up.
I mean, I feel like it's got to be
There's
like.
There's no way you'd make that up here on live radio.
No. I wouldn't do that.
So we'll be out at some point. I do enjoy, because I don't like to openly admit this, but I have listened to your show when I wasn't supposed to be on it. You know, because that does.
Appreciate that.
I guess that's not really a controversial
right back
comment.
At you.
Like, I don't want to admit this, but I listen to you when it's not just me. And you and Daniel Vest, another University of Montevallo guy, have a pretty good rapport going there. So it seems like you guys have a pretty sweet time on this.
I really love it. Obviously the freedom with the time is something we really enjoy. We get a third hour in the fall when, you know, we're in the throes of college football.
Passion.
And I mean, people can't get enough, and we certainly can't get enough. So we're like, boss, you got to give us a third hour. There's no way we're going to get it in. There's no way. And originally it was supposed to be just a college football show, but I mean, we can't just talk all football all the time. Even in Alabama, you got to throw in like 10% something else.
Yeah, throw in a little ice hockey.
Yeah, you know, a little hockey, little basketball, little MMA. Does it seem like everyone was talking to Ronda Rousey in the last 3 days?
She has kind of thrown herself all over my social media.
All over the place. She's in movies. She's on shows. Yeah. She's here. She's there talking to Paul Feinbaum. And everybody wants to fight her.
She was on Feinbaum?
She was on Feinbaum. She was on Fallon. She is well-traveled, I will say. And, I mean, for good reason, she is the most dominant fighter I've ever seen.
Well-traveled. Is that a sex thing?
I don't think so. No,
it?
I mean, she's just traveling everywhere.
Are you saying she's promiscuous? Are you willing to go out here and say that?
I'm not saying anything bad
she's
about Ronda Rousey at all. I wouldn't dream of it.
But, yeah, every dude wants to fight her, and I don't
see
why.
It's like, hey, Ronda, let me see if I can last 15 seconds with you in the ring. I mean, are you really – do you have an appetite for a butt-whooping? Dude, just an old fashioned take it back behind the barn, like just thrashing. I mean, that's what she does. She cracked a dude's rib.
Yeah, like, and she was playing. I've seen that video. She was just like, she wasn't even like, I'm really.
Yeah, she's not even trying.
She was just like, oh, you're I guess you're not going to be able to breathe anymore. That's unfortunate.
Right.
I've got to move on with my next immediate fear. You know what's weird? It's the guys that want to fight her. Like, it's a weird thing when you look at, like, psychologically for a dude's standpoint. You're like, this woman says she's tough. I would like to beat this woman. Why? What part of your brain is like, I'd like to beat a woman to show her that I'm a man?
I mean, like, forgive me because my memory does not serve me, but the professional tennis player years ago that played the man. It was like the man versus woman tennis match.
Oh, that was
Billy Joe King, something like that.
No, it's coming. It's coming. Bobby.
Yes.
Bobby Flay. No. Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby. Bobby.
Bowden.
Gina, Gene, Bobby, Gene, Billy Jean.
Billy Jean King. Yes. And I mean,
that was fun. That was.
That was well done. That was well done. Impressive. But my thing is, like, are you going to just be a regular Joe and go challenge Billie Jean King? Are you going to go out onto the court and try to trade serves with Serena? Like, come on. What makes you think that just because she's a woman, she won't just, and that she hasn't completely mastered something? If people do their homework, she was raised by a judo champion. So it's like she's Uma Thurman, basically, in real life.
These dudes, these 62-year-old morbidly obese guys who want to go fight a woman, be like, you may be good at women, but I'm good at being man. And that's the whole thing. Like, I don't get the psychological part of that. Why can't you be like, that lady is good at what she does. I'm just going to hang out here and not get destroyed. You know what? I'll be able to eat my sandwich and not throw a straw today. That'll be great.
Yeah, I'll take that.
By the way, she's an outlier. That's fine. Not every woman's like this. She's perfect. She's an anomaly. Let her be an anomaly. Make all her monies, and then you can go watch her in her Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
Like, that's the thing, man. It's like, not only is she fearfully just scary, makes you want, oh my gosh, but at the same time, drop dead gorgeous. A buck 35, 5'7". The idea that she's actually shorter than me, like, I mean, when she's in the ring, I mean, she looks like she's 6'2", 250, like a linebacker. I mean, like, she's taking people out in 14 seconds flat. I mean, has anyone lasted just a single round with her?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, every time I've heard about it, it's like 14 seconds, 30 seconds.
I think there was one fight where, like, I think she lasted to, like, the first 30 seconds of the second round.
Oh,
but I think that's
okay.
Because, that's true. I think that's because, like, there was that whole evasive game where you're trying to run away from, keep on the ropes, so to speak, like a whole boxing term. You're trying to stay away from her. Yeah, it's not going to work.
No, and the last girl that went right at her, we saw what happened there. She reversed her move, you know, like she was playing Mortal Kombat, pins her with like a completely new move that she said that she has coined herself. She made a new move that she's added to her already, you know, illustrious judo arsenal and pinned her with that. Like, it was an experiment.
Let's be that 62-year-old morbidly obese man who wants to fight her. What is your strategy? Do you attack or do you ride the octagon out to try to make it through 5 rounds? I think it's 5 in MMA.
I mean, if you're that old and you've been eating a lot.
No, just be you.
Oh, just me.
What's your strategy? You don't have to be 62 and obese.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I'll be 62 and obese. You just be you.
I'm going to run. I'm just going to run. I'm just going to run in circles. She's probably going to cut me off at the pass. So I'm just gonna try to spear. I'm just gonna try to spear. Put a shoulder in, take her to the ground. She's probably gonna put my head in an arm lock right there because my head's right there by her elbow. I mean, that's probably the dumbest thing ever to do, but shows you how much MMA training I have.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I would start to attack, and then right at the last minute, I would pull up and like act like I got a phone call. So I would pull out the cell phone from my shorts and be like, hey, hold on, hang on. Hang on. Hello. Yes. Sorry. Hey, Rhonda, hang on. I'll get to you. We'll fight. I promise we'll fight. Yeah, listen. No, that's a fraud alert. No, that's true. I don't want to. Let's go through the process. It's a phone call from the bank. Like, I got to take this. Someone's trying to steal my money, right? It's an ID theft.
Hold on. It's progressive. Very progressive. I tell you what, man. I would have to run. I would have to run. And then I would like, throw some chocolates, some candy or something like that. Just like, I don't know, be distracted. Something like that. I mean, it just depends on how long I got to stay in there.
Throw her some chocolates. I guess it would depend on what time of the month you fought her.
Oh, God.
Man, I hope this works out timing wise. Nope.
Do you think she'll ever have children? I'm sure she wants to.
I read in an interview where she says her ovaries are a gold mine. She said, like, she called her own ovaries gold mine and said, that's perfect. You need to have babies. But you can't just give Ronda Rousey any kind of genes. You know, you can't just give them like Arky Shea genes. You have to give them something like Tiger Woods genes.
Or some Michael Phelps genes.
Michael Phelps genes, although he kind of likes dudes the way that last girl looked. I'm not sure.
I can't argue with that.
I need a super Mike Tyson genes. Mike Tyson genes.
That's just unfair. That's just unfair.
I know Mike Tyson went to jail for that, but still, I think Mike Tyson genes with Ronda Rousey. You talk about aggression with aggression.
That would be like one of those like universal soldiers like on TV. That'd be like one of those like people that you make in a lab. You can only make in a lab.
It would be the ultimate expendable. That's what that would turn into.
And it would probably live to be like 150.
That's not a bad idea. I gotta make a call.
Let's do it.
You think we can
Where's the cryogenics place around here?
I don't want Ronda Rousey wasting her genes on like an egghead. You know,
no.
Just some dude who wants to go to Harvard. That's not cool. No bueno, as my people say. I want there to be a super person. And here's the thing. Do you think Mike Tyson genes with Ronda Rousey would work better if, like, their offspring was a girl or a boy? Because if there's a boy, Floyd Mayweather will have a run of somebody who, you know. We talk about how much money Floyd Mayweather making now with all his fights with Manny Pacquiao and what he's already made. This could be the super. This baby will be fighting from the crib and making millions of dollars.
Yeah, I'd have to say I'd want it to be a guy because and only because. Male sports, let's face it, they get more attention.
That's true.
And whatnot. I'm talking about there's just it's a lot more parity. There's a lot more contenders, whatnot. And I would like to see that guy just reel off about 40 in a row and just slaughter everybody. I mean, on some Apollo Creed, you know, Rocky type stuff.
That could be so fun. If we make a couple phone calls, I think we can make. Since we're on the ground,
I think we could convince Rhonda if we made a good pitch. That'd be a good pitch.
At least in an email.
Okay.
Or at least a tweet.
Hey, you'll never know if you don't try.
Have you ever tweeted at an athlete or a celebrity?
Oh man, only like a couple like college football players.
Who'd you tweet at?
It was Darren Bates.
Darren Bates.
He was going to be an undrafted free agent. And I just tweeted at him like, hey man, I know you've got what it takes. You know, you've been starting, you know, since your freshman year when he was a safety playing out of position and then moved up and, you know, playing for all those different coaches. I was like, man, you've got what it takes, man. And I mean, I remember even in that horrible year that Auburn had, that play where he stiff armed a guy. And sent him sprawling backwards about 10 yards.
Interception return?
Yes, on an interception return. I was like, dude, you've got what it takes. Yeah. And he tweeted me back like, appreciate it, bruh. And I was like,
appreciate it, bruh? Nah, come on.
Appreciate it.
See, I'll
take anything.
I've interviewed Darren Bates.
It's sad, but.
when he came out, he did an autograph signing up in Huntsville at one of the malls. And interviewed him, and he's with T'Charvin Bell. T'Charvin Bell's most famous for
T-Bell.
Knocking Greg McElroy out of the Iron Bowl.
Yep, with the suplex.
Yeah, suplex time. And they were both humble, really, really nice guys, but they never got appreciated, bro. I never got that. And now I feel like I've been left out. And like, because you always see
mean for that to happen.
You ever see these videos of when these black athletes will like start shaking hands with like announcers, and so like. There's a video I think of like Ray Lewis or something with the ESPN crew, and
oh yeah, yes,
I
know what you're talking
where
about.
The player was, But he was shaking everyone's hand. He was shaking Trent Dilfer's hand, who's white. Steve Young hand, who's
nice
white.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Sir. Thank you, Mr. Sir. And like, he gets to the regulars. He's like, what's up, brother man? Like, he's like the,
yeah.
the
hand. No, it was Cam Newton, wasn't it?
It was Cam Newton.
Cam Newton came on. He was like, yo, Ray, what up, dog?
White guy handshake. Black guy love HK.
Yes. I think it was like, it was like a meme and whatnot for, and a Vine and all, probably a Tumblr somewhere. I mean, it was really funny because it was so wonderfully stereotypical.
Which is the way I like to live my life. Wonderfully stereotypical.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this about Alex City and the radio market there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming because of its proximity to Auburn, it's mostly Auburn fans that call, or do you still get a ton? Because this state's really a lot of Alabama fans.
Yeah.
But you would think the closer you get to Auburn, the more Auburn fans you get called. Do you find that to be true?
A little bit. I would say 2 out of 3 would be Auburn fans. We got a couple Alabama fans that do call in as well. But, I would definitely have to say more Auburn fans and more people calling in wanting to hear about, like, local Auburn guys. Not a lot of guys from Alex City went to Alabama. Mm-hmm. Only here recently, I think a defensive end went from Dadeville, and he was ranked somewhere in the top 20 in the state, and he ended up going to Alabama. But other than that, a lot of guys from around there, they don't really go to Alabama. And so everybody ends up because El Toro Freeman went to Benjamin Russell, went to Auburn.
Yeah, he's in CFL now, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. We just interviewed him, actually, and he's going to play for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yeah. See, I think the what CFL does the names right. You took Pittsburgh Steelers, I get it, San Francisco 49ers, I get that. I don't know what a Rough Rider is. I don't ever want to find out what a Rough Rider is. I'm just glad there's a team in Saskatchewan.
There's a pack of them in the local gas station. I know that.
The Montreal Alouettes. Oh, are you kidding me? There's so many great, great team names. Mm-hmm.
The Canadian names are so thoughtful and
whenever they get a new NFL franchise, they're going to be like, the Los Angeles Day Laborers? I don't know. We have to figure out what we're doing here. No. El Toro Freeman.
Oh, no.
I got to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. This has really just turned into a giant sports podcast. El Toro Freeman was a huge bust at Auburn. Huge bust. There was so much love for him, but he was hurt a lot, too.
Yeah.
He was hurt a lot of his time. I remember, I think it was against Kansas State, that like he had like an interception. It may have been South Florida. He had an interception, I think, right at the end of a half, and like he hurt his ankle or his foot, and he was just never right again. Like the guy just couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah,
and he was a huge recruit coming in. He was a
5-star.
Everybody thought El Toro Freeman was going to be something. It was like his nickname was like a bull or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and the thing that made him famous was because I remember the hit that made him famous. He came in on the blind side of Jordan Jefferson of LSU,
yeah,
and just annihilated him, and just, everybody was like, that's El Toro, like that's the guy that we were promised. But again, I mean, he was kind of one of those guys that was headstrong, obviously strong like bull, and just a guy that was flying around all the time, and because of that he kind of found himself out of position quite a bit, because he was just, you know, he was wanting to get to the quarterback.
Reckless.
Yeah, a little bit. But wish him luck, man. It was a cool interview. I liked El Toro, and even guys like Mike Goggins went to. Yeah, yeah. I was really happy with it, and hopefully we get to talk to him again because his eyes are still on the NFL. He is very much trying to get back there, and he compared his when he didn't academically qualify. It sounded like I didn't echo Dwimble could qualify. It's
okay, your nickname's not the Bull.
Yeah, exactly. And so he didn't qualify at Auburn, had to go to JUCO, came back, and he compared him going to JUCO and then eventually getting to Auburn with playing for Saskatchewan and trying to get back to the NFL. And, I mean, he's just been working hard. So we'll see what happens, man. I like to see good local guys make it.
Do you have a worst interview you've done? Like that the guy on the other or lady?
Because
I have a worst interview. I'll give you a ticket to think. It didn't even have to be an interview.
Uh-huh.
You remember Chris Davis, the kick six return
guy?
Yeah. He was up here for an autograph signing. And every autograph signing I've come up to, I'd be able, I'd just go take my little recorder up and get, grab a few minutes for radio the next week. These are all that was always on Saturdays and such. I go up there, and he's up there. Philip Lutzenkirching is up there. And Eric Anders from Alabama was up there.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There was one more, I think, Alabama guy that was up there. Lutzenkirching had a good amount. Eric Anders only had a couple guys. Everybody clearly was there for Chris Davis. This was right after Kick Six in, I think, March, February, March, probably March of, that'd be last year? I guess it would be last year.
Yeah.
So I went to the mall, and I just tried to be polite. I sat there and waited. I said, you know what, let him sign all these autographs. He's getting some money to sign the autographs. Let him sign all this. Then afterwards, once he takes a break or when he's done, I'll just go like I do with everybody else, see if I can grab 3 or 4 minutes with them. Boom, put it on the radio. Chris Davis is going to get people to listen. It's the Kick Six guy.
Yeah.
And I waited the entire time, probably an hour and a half for him to get through everybody, just sign and sign and sign. And then I sort of saddle up to him and his guys, and I said, oh, hey, I'm Arky Shea with 103.9 The Ump Radio, and here, just want to ask, see if I can ask you a couple of questions. You know, I'm not there really to lambast him, want to make him feel stupid. And he looks at me right now, and he's like, I don't do talk. I was like, oh, dude, just a couple minutes? Like, no talk. I was like,
what?
Do you want to take a picture with me? That's what I thought. And I was like, all right.
Wow.
So I walked out, and I was as ticked as I'd ever been. Not because he said no talk. I understand some people don't want to talk. Some people aren't good on radio and such.
Right.
But I didn't understand the way he handled it, you know, and I had waited all that time. I didn't try to be like a jerk or like local TV that just wanted to get him on camera. I was just like, I'll wait this time. This is your time. It's cool. And I don't do talk. All right.
I don't do talk.
By the way, I cleaned that up. He cursed. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's okay.
Gosh, that's
okay. He's hanging on with the San Diego Chargers now. So good for him.
Yes, good for him.
Do you have like a worst interview or something?
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, I had a. I wish we had him, man. But
talk, man. It's weird.
It's crazy. The similarities between his coach speak and Chizik's coach speak are just like mind numbingly similar. It's just like, oh my gosh, can you just give me like a little. Just a little bit of detail,
but
like
it's not much.
Future's bright. Jesus,
at least not like
Jesus
future
Christ,
bright,
like
future bright, Jesus.
It was like, oh my gosh. But anyway, to the point. Had an interview with Zach. Oh gosh, I had his name. Etheridge. It was Zach. Oh my gosh! I'm thinking Zach Banks is head old DJ at Montevallo.
Montevallo guy. Yeah.
But no, it wasn't him though. It was
Zach Efron.
Zach. Here we go.
Give me something like what did he do?
Yeah, he was a cornerback during the 04 to 07 teams. He walked on. He was a local guy, and. Boy, I'll remember it, but let me tell you what happened that made it so awful, is that we've got him on the phone. It was our first former player interview ever, and so I'm stoked. Like, I've read up on this guy's bio, like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and,
I'm going to get
and like,
educated questioning.
Right, and like I said, you know, he walked on, so he didn't have much experience in the beginning, so it's really you're just kind of studying his last couple of years, and he did have some interceptions early on, but we had him, and he was on the phone, but he was driving as well. And I'm like, oh, boy, this could be rough. And so, because, you know, he could go out of right. You know, reach, I guess, from satellites or whatnot. But it seemed like the window was down the whole time. So I'm like straining to hear this guy, and he's not really talking really loud. I guess he might be soft spoken. I don't know, or just seemed like it that day. And I could not hear anything. So I couldn't react to anything that he was saying. I couldn't like follow up with like a follow up question. It was so hard to hear. And then he got out of his car, and then it seemed like, I don't know where he lives, but his house must have a basement because, you know how people like go down below. I don't know if you've ever interviewed somebody like that who just like starts like walking different places, but it's like his voice got muffled after that. So I was like, the window and now the basement, and this is a disaster. I couldn't believe it.
I love that when that happens because I love it when like a guy's getting into his car, getting out of his car, and you got like the little blinker. The
bing, bing, bing. Yes.
Like, dude, just keep your door shut for 41 more seconds. We're good. We're good. I don't have to know that you're getting out of your car right now.
Slams his car extra loud.
Hey, by the way, today's podcast brought to you by Audible.com. You get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/JWT. That's for Just Want to Talk. Over 150,000 titles, Seth, to choose from your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, or your MP3 player. That's audibletrial.com/JWT.
That sounds pretty good right there. I've been slacking on my book reading. It is. I read sports on the internet.
Perfect.
And, you know, some politics stuff on the internet, but
you don't have to read anything ever again. Audibletrial.com.
And you just talk to me.
/JWT. I'll read all the stories to you, man. I'll read you my book whenever I eventually finish writing it.
Oh, my gosh.
Start writing it.
I would love to hear that.
I have a, I don't know, well, I can put this out in the ether. I've been working on a book. It's called, actually, it's a book about not shaming people who are fat and like embracing being
okay.
fat and the greatness that can be being fat.
Okay.
And I'm calling it What to Expect When You're Expecting to Get Seconds. I think that's going to sell a lot of copies. It's going to be like an e-book. It's not going to be much, but I think it's going to be pretty great. All kinds of great fat Americans.
You'll get people buying just off Google searches alone because they'll still be looking up what to expect when you're expecting. And then there was like a movie, I think, too. And then they're going to be like,
true.
Wait, what?
I get
and then like you'll be on like
the
second page of Google results or in like the the bottom two, and they'll be like, when you're what did you say when you're trying to get seconds or
yeah, what to expect when you're expecting to get seconds.
To get seconds. They're going to be like, to get seconds? What is this?
That's right.
Who is this Archie Shea fella? Well, it,
doesn't matter. He looks
pretty glorious.
That man looks glorious. I can tell by the e-book cover.
Very impressive cover.
So what's coming up for you in the near future?
Well, we're going to keep on going with the radio show until the end of April. We're going to go through A-Day and all that and keep going until May. Once May starts, I do a lot of work with the Birmingham Barons camera crew.
Yeah.
But
that park, by the way, is I haven't been there.
Beautiful, beautiful. They set new records for home attendance every year. It's only been 2 years, but
but both it still counts.
Yeah, it's
both
ridiculous.
Every year.
I mean, I heard the very first weekend that they opened, they sold $50,000 worth of merchandise at the gift store.
Ooh.
I mean, it's crazy, and kind of makes you want to be like, hey, you gonna pass those dollars along to the low earning wagers over here? But
don't want to do that.
No, probably not. But. Anyway, but it's been cool because you get to like you're like the highlight cam and get to catch like home runs and you know when there's funny stuff like the races they have like a race between like a pizza slice, a chef, and a hot dog.
Oh, I mean.
And the hot dog is always evil. There are that's just discriminatory right there. But
I wonder if
good grief.
I'm gonna remember this when I go this year.
Mm-hmm. Let me know, man. Let me know
if the hot dog. Does do as you are suggesting does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to know where I heard it first.
I'm telling you.
What has the hot dog done before?
I mean, he's always the guy that like pushes people over. Like he's a dirty racer. He's a dirty dog racer. Double dirty dog racer.
Dirty, delicious dog racer.
That's and I mean, he's evil and like the pizza slice always gets screwed over.
Oh really?
Yeah, the pizza slice is always getting the wrong end of the stick, and the chef is like the friend of both because he technically cooked both, but and he doesn't like to see the hot dog beating up on the pizza slice. So every once in a while,
hey guys,
something
I see both
happen.
Your points. All right, let's just chill.
You know, what's even funnier is like they'll every once in a while they'll throw stuff in. Like they had an Iron Man guy show up, And they they started playing. They started playing Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath.
Yeah,
and he popped Marvel out. Character.
Yeah, and so the hot dog's about to win yet another race because he's a dirty dog racing hot
dirty,
dog.
Delicious dog can't win again.
And out of nowhere, Iron Man pops up. I didn't even know this was going to happen. So like I'm filming it, and I was like, oh, it's just the hot dog again. And of course we're on. Headset, just making fun of everything. We're making fun of everything. Because, I mean, we got to. I mean, baseball, I'm glad they're speeding it up a little bit. Because, I mean, it has gotten really monotonous. But, I mean, when it's happening and Iron Man pops out of nowhere and just spears the hot dog, I mean, it's pretty cool when you're not expecting it.
It's like, oh, is that Stone Cold coming for the Royal Rumble to spear? What is this?
More beer. More tequila. And more beer.
Oh.
Telling you.
So but, listen to your show this press Sundays 2 to 4 at WKGA. Is it 975.com?
Yep, 975.com.
2 to 4. Seth Hagan, you on Twitter?
Yep, I am. You can hit me at SH_spread 957 or 975. And also come out to the park. I might be hosting a couple games this year.
Oh.
They might let me do the hosting on the field. So I was pretty stoked when they told me that, man.
Because
I was like, man, I'll do some PA. Like, whatever, and just so happened I talked to the guy who'd been doing it most like the last couple of years, and he was like, well, I can't do it as much. I got another gig. So I was like, shoot, you think they might give me a shot?
I'll tell you what I don't miss is that the Huntsville Stars are leaving. And I love the Huntsville Stars.
That was bad.
It's our fault.
It was disappointing. Absolutely.
We didn't go to the game.
No.
And I know everybody wants to say upgrade the stadium and such a blah, 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 blah.
Sounds like UAB.
We didn't go to the games before. We probably were only going to go for a minute and a half afterwards.
Right.
And I don't care about the product on the field. Minor League Baseball isn't about the product on the field.
No.
Minor League Baseball is about the chance to get out with your family and do something fun. It's not about, like, this team's 4 games under .500. I'm not supporting that. It's like, I would like
this
to...
mediocre double-A baseball, I tell you what.
I want to go support my family watching Iron Man stop the hot dog from winning the race. I want fireworks nights. I want $2 beer night. I want all that stuff because that's what minor league baseball is about. Look, if you want to support the Braves and go do that, great. That's what really matters.
That's where your $150 is going.
It's
plus gas. Yeah.
Plus gas. So I'm sad to see them go.
Yeah.
But the weird thing to me is, like, you know they're going to play, like, their first three home series in Huntsville, the Biloxi Shuckers, because the Biloxi Stadium's not done yet.
Oh, boy.
So it's going to be some weird feelings in April.
Oh, wow.
When you got the Biloxi Shuckers playing in Huntsville. It's like the jilted lover coming back and
yes,
hanging out.
Yes.
Like,
What's
up, ladies?
It's like you moved in with your girlfriend. You broke up, but you're in the same lease together, and she's got a boyfriend within, like, those same, like, 3 months that the lease is ending, and you've broken up, and, oh, that's...
Yeah, but you can't...
Well, that's hella, like, awkward, man.
That's going to be awkward. Don't think I'm going to support it, because I am. I'm going to be there every single game.
I might have to come up just to gauge the tension in the air.
I like minor league baseball.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're losing is bogus. Bogus! I blame
bogus,
you, Huntsville.
I tell you.
This whole podcast is supposed to be positive about Huntsville and North Alabama, and now I'm sitting here screaming at him, you jerks! You didn't show up to the games for the last 8 years.
I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. I wish it were different. I wish it were different, because I remember going to Stars games when I was a little kid, growing up in Huntsville. We moved around a lot. My dad was a UAH coach. But yeah, you coach women's basketball there, and I remember going to the games, man. And I mean, and you're right; it should be about the experience. You're not going there because, like, oh, I was reading on the scout sheet that this guy might jump to the where do the Stars players go?
They may bring this guy up at the end of June, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, well, I never found out who's their secondary team in the majors.
The Brewers.
The Brewers. So it's like, off top, minor league baseball is kind of weird and hard to support if you're a big major league baseball fan, because odds are you're a local fan of your local team, and your minor league teams are not going anywhere near your major league team. So it's an awkward dynamic. It's like, who's the biggest Brewers fan in Huntsville? Ricochet.
Don't know anybody would like the bird face. I'll say this: I was the mascot for the Huntsville Stars as far as like a radio stint kind of thing. Like,
oh, cool!
I went in, I auditioned to be the mascot, and
no way.
Weird. It came down to like a lady who was probably like 26.
Oh boy.
Me, like a 13-year-old little boy. And we all got to split duty. I was like, "That's but why am I auditioning if I'm just going to split?" It was Homer the Polecat. For some reason, the Huntsville Stars mascot was a skunk. It was Homer the Polecat. Never do that again.
See, like
that's ridiculous.
The Barons did. Like the Barons did the same thing with PA. They were like, "We want one person and they can always be there and whatnot." And they end up splitting it between the UAB PA guy and a couple of local radio guys, and they don't even give me a shot. And I'm like,
"That's ridiculous."
You brought me in, but they were like, "We got this Vision Crew thing for you."
At least you got a cool mascot, a couple cool dogs.
You're right. And the chef, the pizza, and the hot dog. The delicious,
that
racing
in and of
dog.
Itself completely beat the Huntsville Stars for the past 12 years. That's all I had to do. That's all I had to do was put on the outfit.
Sad but true.
But one last thing. I'll tell this last quick story. They have an education day. I guess they do something like that with the Birmingham Barons.
Where they bring in the schools.
All the kids in.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. So it's buses and buses of kids from elementary schools, middle schools, and such. And it's like a 10 a.m. first pitch. So I go out there in my costume as Homer the Polecat at 10 a.m. on like April 19th. It's hot. It's awful. I hate life. I hate every moment of life. And kids don't care about baseball. They care about the mascot running around. So I'm getting my tail pulled. Everybody's just like, "Homer, Homer." I have this one girl, and I'll never forget her because I hope she's just walking slower than she did last time. That's all I hope. This one girl who would get in line and ask for me to like autograph like a part of her body. So like "Homer, sign my hand." I would. She'd go into the line, come back, "Homer, sign my arm."
No way.
"Homer, sign." She over and over and over. At one point, she asked me to like sign her belly, and I was like, "I can't do this."
No.
She's 7.
No. Absolutely not. Somebody come get this girl.
I can't have this on my record. This will prevent me from ever being able to have children. You know he's a pedophile. He signed little girls' bellies.
You're branded for life. There's no coming back from that, really. No, it's almost the same thing because when you're on camera, all the little kids want to be on camera. Say, "Mr. Cameraman, Mr. Cameraman." And I mean, kids really they're amazing creatures because they don't give up. They never give up. They never give up. Never surrender. If we could put children in male bodies and soldiers, we win every war 1,000,000-0. Like, I don't know, you can't really win wars by points, but I'm saying though, like, these kids are persistent. If not persistent, unbelievable. Mr. I can hear it right now, and I'm just preparing myself because in a month I'll be in a sea of prepubescent agony.
Prepubescent Agony. That's going to be actually my next book name. I like that. Prepubescent Agony.
Can I get in like on the co-authorship? I think I got a couple stories.
I'll do you better. I'll give you percent.
Boom.
So prepubescent Agony. Look at that fur on your
hand. My people get with your people.
That's been a lot of fun. Thanks, man, for coming on.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. WKGA975.com Sundays. Listen to
him. Hit us up.